maybe it's still making up a spoon. Who knows, man?
Wait a minute. Somebody's music.
That's familiar music, brother.
They've exploded. Here's another.
Hulk Hogan, what is happening?
Well, you know, Mean Gene, we really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
Are you ready?
Hello everyone and welcome to the first pilot episode of the Coming Down the Aisle Wrestling Podcast. This is our initial launch, our very first episode, whatever you want to call it. I am one of your hosts, Bradley, and I'm joined here by my co-host,
Danny.
And what I'm going to do to get us started and get things going, I'm going to pass you over to Danny.
Hello everyone. So we're just going to kick off our first show with giving you guys all insight as to why we're doing this and sort of what wrestling means to us as well. So Bradley, why is it that you wanted to do this podcast?
Certainly, I think we spoke about it for about 6 months, probably going back to March, April time. Both of us being from the UK, we were speaking about things we could do, and that's why it's taken so long to kind of get up and running, because of the lockdown and the current pandemic, not just here but globally. But I think the reason me and you wanted to do something so close to home with wrestling is we've known each other for about 6 years since we worked together. We don't work together anymore, but we've always remained having that sort of common ground. And the first thing we really bonded on was wrestling. I think it's one of the only things me and you ever seem to have a conversation around. There's never anything seriously about it. And it was really one of the things that me and you really sort of moulded our friendship around. We've both got a mixture of views, a mixture of experience, and what we like, what we dislike, different types of knowledge, and really just we both have a love and passion for it. And I thought you came up with the original idea, and to me it was something that I really have always wanted to kind of get involved in, is to share my knowledge and love for wrestling, and to actually have someone to do that with is really exciting. And I'm really glad that we're managing to get it set up now. Wrestling for me as well, grew up watching it since I was 4 years old. My nana and granddad were big wrestling fans. It's just kind of been a family thing since then, and I've never really been able to shake the bug, and nor do I want to.
Nice one. I think it has been coming a long time. Like, I think we spoke during lockdown early on, and I remember it just being, or what I felt was a throwaway idea anyway, and we finally actually got here. We've been talking about it for months. We've been setting up ways of what we can do and what we can speak about and things like that, and it's finally here. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same as you when it comes to wrestling. Like, it's been something I've watched over the course of my life, and being a little bit older than you, a couple of years, I've kind of got a different perspective on stuff. Like, I'll talk about like 80s stuff and early 90s stuff and things like that, whereas you have a great knowledge on it all, but you grew up watching a kind of different era.
Yeah.
But we've still watched like the same stuff over a few years. So, wrestling's totally in my blood as well. Been collecting figures as well for a few years, which is something else we'll move on to.
Yeah.
Which we do together, but yeah.
What's your first ever memory of wrestling?
My first ever memory of wrestling.
That you can remember, that you can recall vividly.
Vividly, WrestleMania 8.
And what about Mania 8?
And then it strangely moves into WrestleMania 3. But, WrestleMania 8, I don't even know why. I think my auntie recorded it for me and gave it to my mum to give to me. And I just remember watching it constantly. Like, my brother was texting me the other day there, or maybe last week, about things that happened at WrestleMania 8, and I gave him immediate answers, and then he was just...
So what was your standout for that show? What sticks with you?
Well, as you'll get to know me, I like the Ultimate Warrior, so...
Just a bit.
The Ultimate Warrior coming back, running in for Hogan at the end, just when his music hits and
is that not the one when he just kind of gets in the ring and just kind of fist pumps and runs on the spot for about 30 seconds and then decides to hit the ropes?
Aye, because he's coming back after maybe a year out or whatever.
It's about 9 to 10 months.
And then he he runs in and I fist pumps for absolutely no reason and then just stick Shango over the ropes with a clothesline. So, but that him coming back was big then, but like I think my favourite match is probably Piper against Bret Hart for the IC belt.
I was waiting on it. You'll find as we go along, as the weeks go on, Danny's got a admiration for Bret Hart like no other. I think that's probably a true reflection of what I know of you with your wrestling likes and dislikes, that you're very much brought up in that era, the Hulk Hogan's, the Hasbro era, the cartoon era. But then kind of for me, my first memory of wrestling, I must have been 5 year old. Still remember it, my nana invited us up. It was like a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, whatever it was. My mum used to take us up and my nana used to record it for us. And I was probably quite exposed to wrestling in the Attitude Era when I probably was far too young to be watching what I was watching. Some of the things that I remember, but the first initial memory of wrestling for me that really got me hooked, and even when I watch it back to this day, I still get that rush and that reason why I love it, was Mankind versus The Rock for the world title on Raw. And you had the corporate ministry, you had DX, you had everyone around the ring, and they were all just trying to screw Mankind. And it looks like he's got no hope left in hell. And then all of a sudden, the Texas Rattlesnakes music hits. The fans lose their mind. Honestly, that pop alone stuck with me. And just the chaos that was involved in that scene really stuck with me, and I was glued on it ever since. My brother and my older cousin Richard, they were into wrestling at the time, so I just kind of coasted off of them too and became a bigger fan than anyone around, really.
Nice one. Well, that gives you a kind of insight as to where we both started, and a little bit about how I like Bret Hart. So yeah, quickly, Bradley, I'll just overview what we'll cover on the show today, and then we'll just kick off.
Yep, so what we're going to be covering in the show today, and what you can expect over the coming weeks as well, is you'll probably get to know that me and Danny, especially Danny, are quite eccentric. We're wanting to add a bit of humour and we didn't like to take ourselves too seriously. We're currently sitting in the office here where we've got set up, which is in my home, and it's got wrestling memorabilia climbing up the walls. No doubt Danny will try and pocket a wrestling figure before he leaves tonight. But some of the things that you can expect in today's show is we're going to review the shows from this past week, more so the drafts more than anything else, so what happened on Raw and what happened on SmackDown, and we're also going to touch upon the AEW main event this week, which was Jon Moxley defending the AEW world title against Lance Archer. Now the reason we're not going into full depth of the show is because we have a few things obviously extra we need to cover off in this show today. So next week we will have more time to discuss AEW in a little bit more depth, but we're going to discuss and review our thoughts on each show, any sort of updates and news that we have from the current world of wrestling just now. We're going to have a topic as well, and it probably won't rotate. We're going to have Superstar of the Week, which we'll get to later on, so we're going to highlight a particular superstar every week. It'll be me, it'll be Danny, and eventually when the social media starts to get more interactive, we'll ask you guys to kind of vote upon who you would like to see highlighted, and me and Daniel are going to do some research, talk about some fun facts and share our thoughts on the person as well. We will also discuss our figure collection, why we collect, where our collection's at. We'll also have a highlight section of the figures that we want to talk about that week, which we've bought. Might be me, might be Danny, it might be even ones that are pre-orders are coming up soon. We're also going to have some predictions for next week's shows, where we think the storylines will match up, where we think Hell in a Cell's predictions will go, and also where NXT Halloween Havoc's predictions will go as well, because I appreciate that the match cards aren't fully set up. We're also going to be doing a fantasy tournament for Instagram over the next 7 days, so we'll discuss who's going to be in each bracket for that. So some good stuff, and again, bear with us because we are new at this, very new, so we will be a little bit rusty, a little bit nervous, and there will be some laughs, hopefully. So. But that's pretty much the start of the show, where we're going. And where we're going to go, obviously, to begin with, will be with discussing Monday Night Raw from this past Monday. So I'll let Danny start off with how he thought the kickoff of the show was.
Literally kickoff. We Orton and Drew's little segment. I think it's a good rivalry, to be honest with you. I quite like Orton. Obviously, he's been around a good long while.
18 year now, probably. I don't know why I looked at my watch there. Right, so helped me. Yeah, got a Randy Orton watch on.
Gives you the exact amount of years he's been about, and the little hand shows the months. to be honest with you, the opening wasn't exactly something out of the ordinary. They've got a feud going on.
Yeah.
Big match coming up. It's good to see, because they're really like, they're both big prominent stars, and I actually really like Orton. I probably like Orton better than I like Drew, to be perfectly honest with you. But
bastard.
despite Drew being Scottish, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I've not really got a lot of thoughts on the actual opening itself. It was good to see it keeping them active and stuff. But
yeah, I think it was just another. It's hard. I mean, like, when you compare it against other shows at NXT and even Dynamite, it's a typical Raw start to a show. Orton comes out and he starts cutting this kind of generic heel type of promo, and he goes to finish it with the quote that he always seems to be saying now, where he's going to beat you with the most dangerous three letters in sports entertainment. I hate that quote, by the way. It should be wrestling. But again, that's Vince and his banned words.
And then Drew...
I didn't say belt. You're probably finding me and Danny are absolutely silly, but we're also obsessed with the fact that Vince has this list of words that people can and cannot say.
We'll cover that at some point.
And the reason I'm mentioning that is that Randy Orton mentions sport and entertainment again, and to me, his delivery with the promo is fine. It's just not believable. It just seems like these guys have been feuding for three and a half months now. They've done all the talking they possibly can, and I think, to be honest, there's only one way this is going, this feud. And I don't think I'm going to like the end result, personally. But we'll get to predictions later on. But I think Drew comes out. Drew's pumped up, sporting his new merch. He makes a promise to Orton that every time they're in the same arena, he's going to kick his arse. Not ass, arse, by the way, for Scottish people. And they have a standard brawl. The good bit is that Drew pretty much does a similar backdrop as what Orton is famous for doing, where he picks you up and just kind of lets you go. I remember he done it to one of the Singh brothers a couple of years ago and just about broke his neck. But Drew kind of catches Orton's move and does it himself to him, which was nice to see. And that was probably the highlight for me of that whole segment. But we'll give them time. We'll see where they're going.
Well, not too long till Hell in a Cell anyway, so... We'll see. We'll talk about the predictions later, as you said. So.
Then the next part is the draft. So what did you think of the overall first draft plot for Raw? Obviously, SmackDown had their draft the week before, but let's just purely talk about what Raw's first selection was. Quite a big one.
It was indeed. What are your thoughts?
I think The Fiend needed a change. I think he had ran through that roster on SmackDown. He was maybe becoming a bit stale. I think the addition of Alexa Bliss... coming alongside him will be massive for his career and the character itself. I think they really need to make sure that they're not overexposing the guy and having him physically in that outfit every week, because he's special. I think when Kane first came on the scene, or Undertaker, you didn't want to overdo it with these guys every night. So I think having the Firefly Funhouse next week will be different, because we're not going to get to see The Fiend all the time. It makes it that bit more special. But I think there's a plethora of new talent he can go and feud with. Who that might be, what his involvement in Hell in a Cell will be, I think it's quite a fitting pay-per-view for that kind of character to make an impact. So I think Raw have got a big one in there. Again, adds to their main event status, where they're probably getting a little bit stale. We're going around a bit in circles in terms of options. That's maybe why Orton and McIntyre have been feuding for so long.
I see. Just on The Fiend, you said there about... getting a bit stale, and I think it is good to not have him in the mask all the time. That was actually quite a valid point. I think it's important to try and sort of build the whole character, not just one side of it, mm-hmm. because then there's no point in having the other side if you never get to see it. It's just like, oh, when's it going to pop up? I don't know. Or The Fiend again. Like, it just came, like you said, it got stale on SmackDown, and it it's got the potential to do the same again unless they've got new ideas. Obviously, like you said about new feuds that he can have now that he's in a different roster, which is fair enough, but would it be a case of it going stale again after he's had these feuds?
I think that's why they've put Alexa Bliss in there. I think she adds something different to him. I don't know what that something different is right now. I think she needed something to kind of keep her self relevant. She'd been out of in-ring action for quite a long time. She was doing like a moment with Bliss, which didn't get me started on couch segments on a wrestling show.
We need a couch, actually. That's what we need to get.
I know, I've got a bad back. But no, I think The Fiend, hopefully, they can do the right thing with him, make a right good impact. Alexa Bliss adds that extra layer of creativity that he can have in his matches, so we'll see. Additional ones in there as well. SmackDown retained Bayley, who's been the longest running SmackDown Women's Champion in history, so think right now she's going into a big feud with Bayley, so that's kind of culminating at Hell in a Cell. A good coup for SmackDown to keep her. She's probably one of the most well-rounded women's wrestlers on the roster.
Who is Sasha Banks?
Bayley and Sasha Banks, yeah.
That's fine.
So obviously they've been former women's tag team champions. They're now going into a feud with each other. It's kind of all the way back from their NXT days back in 2014-15 till they got plotted onto the main roster. So it's a good bit of storytelling with this one, and I'm sure Bayley has got that added edge in her heel character that'll make it worthwhile. What's your thoughts? I know it's not the most exciting one, but obviously Raw retained Randy Orton.
Aye, I think, well, was Drew, he was like the first pick, was he not, to stay?
On last week's show, yeah, on SmackDown, he was like the first number one pick on the show.
Remember, he was on the show, wasn't he? And then, just reminding myself there. Yeah, I think, well, to be honest with you, obviously with the feud and stuff like that, I think they had to do that. They couldn't have went another way with it. They couldn't have taken him away in the middle of this. I mean,
no.
If the draft was later on, or if the pay-per-view had been earlier,
perhaps
he might have went over, but...
I don't know.
Like I say, I like Orton anyway, so it doesn't matter to me where he is. But I think for the sake of the feud, and for potentially what might come after, I think he had to stay. So it's a good one for me.
Another big pick for Raw as well was obviously SmackDown taking the Street Profits. Only fair, kind of seen that one coming when you knew that the New Day were breaking up last week. I think the New Day needed something fresh, but I think the Street Profits as well, those guys moving over to SmackDown, gives them new options, new opponents. So we'll see what happens there. I like the Street Profits. I think Montez Ford is extremely athletic. The guy's frog splash. He could basically pass my window and I stay on the fifth floor when he jumps off the top rope.
I think I just seen him go past, actually. He's landed on top of my car.
But anyway, we'll move on. So
he's fine.
One thing I want Danny's opinion on is Danny's very old school ways of thoughts on wrestling. So the first match on Raw this week was obviously Black versus Owens in an ODQ match.
I resent the old part of that. You make me sound like I'm like a lot older than you. I think it's like
5 year.
Aye, so Owens and Black. Listen, Black is a tremendous athlete. I know what I've noticed about a lot of guys actually on the current rosters are smaller, more athletic.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of big men. There is big men about, like, but I think the athleticism of the people these days is potentially, or probably is,
superior to back in the day.
Aye, for sure. I mean, you've got obviously your Hardys and stuff like that, and
Shawn Michaels.
I was actually going to say the Rockers, I was going to mention, but I might get pinged for being old again. Jeanette is getting stuck to the barbershop window, by the way. We'll cover that at one point. But yeah, the athleticism of Black, incredible. It's actually exciting to watch. I think it's quite a strange pairing for Owens. I'm not a big Owens fan, and I'm certainly not a big fan of his stunner either, because...
again, like for me, that match, I watched in its entirety. Black never got an entrance, which really, really bugs me. Came back for the air, and he was in the ring, kind of pacing, waiting on Owens, which I thought was quite poor. feel like they're not doing nowhere near enough with Aleister Black. If Vince doesn't see anything in him, then send him back to NXT where he was thriving and he had some really, really top-notch matches where he can prove himself. I think the match itself, Owens came out in trainers, which to me just gave an impression that, I get it, it's no DQ, it's not a street fight. Conventionally speaking, for me, a street fight, or that's when you would put your jeans on. I still remember SummerSlam 2002, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Michaels returns, he wears the vest, he's got the jeans, the cowboy boots. That's when you should be wearing jeans. I think Owens turned up basically, would have been as well coming up in his jammies. So it was a bit disappointing. Some good spots in the match, I think Black hit someone with double knees off the top rope through four steel chairs that are faced up. It was a nice spot, but going back to Danny's point, like Black goes for Black Mass on the outside of the ring, hits the ring post, Owen rolls him in, and hits him with a stunner. Now, to me, the stunner is like the most devastating wrestling move of all time in terms of the impact that it always had. And Black doesn't fall on his arse. Black,
apart from when Vince McMahon took it, because he just couldn't take it.
No, he basically just done a senton over Austin's shoulder. For me, and fair and credit to Danny's point, that was a good point that Owens kind of puts him in the stunner and then pop up powers that bombs him through the table. It was going nowhere. I feel like they've just damaged Black for the sake of damaging him and put Owens in a storyline for the sake of it, even though a couple of weeks away he was feuding with The Fiend slightly, so it's kind of just typical WWE right now where they're at. Can they kind of keep consistent with the storyline? Everybody's here, there and everywhere, and to be honest, on the back of this draft, whether you see people staying and whether you see people going is another thing, because Vince will want to change it in a couple of weeks because ratings have dropped.
Although one thing I would say about Owens, the powerbomb through the table was impressive. If you notice, he kind of uses both hands to like push down as he goes through it. I quite like that, to be honest with you.
Rather than just let you drop like what Nash used to do.
He delivered some terrible ones. Sid, by the way, he delivered the best powerbomb in my eyes. Sid, but again, that's going back 1910.
You're just proving everybody right.
To be fair, Owens' powerbomb class is probably the best thing about the match for me.
Aye, I would agree. Next match, just really quickly, was the Hurt Business's Cedric Alexander versus Ricochet. Actually, a really, really good match. Strong, both guys really athletic. They obviously know each other well in the ring. I mean, there's a point where Ricochet goes for his 6:30 and lands clean on his feet without any sort of worry.
Goes for a 5K.
The one move was called out in this match, which again, Danny, what was it?
What was it?
The Michinoko driver.
Oh, yeah, the Michinoko driver. I couldn't believe it. When he actually delivered it better than Taka and all.
But again, I like the Hurt Business. I think MVP's a brilliant mouthpiece for anybody. It's nice to see that Lee Shelton's getting some sort of screen time that he deserves. Bobby's massive. And naturally, the finish to this match I really enjoyed because it was Eddie Guerrero's birthday just last week. He would turn 53. And the finish to kind of protect Cedric Alexander was designed so no one took the pin, but protected both parties. The old signature, slap the chair on the ground when the ref's down and pretend you're on the deck, and Ricochet won by DQ.
I don't think Ricochet had to pretend he fainted though, because he kind of flicked up his arm.
Aye.
Just as if he went, oh.
Yeah, it was quite overdramatic, but a creative and different finish, and it was a nice touch to the late great Eddie Guerrero.
That was a good finish, actually.
Next segment is a title swap between the New Day and the Street Profits. Seen your face when we were reviewing this, Danny, so what's your thoughts?
I actually thought for a second that there was going to be something happen that they wouldn't do it, and something, I don't know what was going on in my head at that moment, but a split second and I thought, oh, something's going down here. But it was quite good to add that in. I can't remember seen that before. It's probably happened. I need to check the record books, but
well, maybe when Shane gave Midian the European.
Give my shout on Instagram. I quite enjoyed the segment, and then it just towards the end of it, the New Day and the Street Profits just kicked off.
Aye, they kind of both almost just quote each other. We want the smoke. New Day rocks. WWE tag team champions. All that good stuff. Ziggler, though, Ziggler comes in and tries to just get involved with Robert Roode, and Ziggler, for a split second, breaks character, and as he's looking at Xavier, just kind of like grims, like just gives off this grin that he's just completely broke character and just about went. So it was what needed to be, and I'm glad they shown you them swapping the belts.
I think,
didn't he say belt?
No, stop saying belt. I think Ziggler looks like a small, like, present day version of Billy Gunn. I know he tries to.
Oh,
be,
yes,
but in the smoking guns is what I mean. As he looks,
him and Bart Gunn.
Didn't he mention Bart Gunn, by the way?
Oh, God, send him to Japan, by the way.
But, aye, that was probably a terrible shout. It's probably obvious because he does
the famous
in that. But he actually looks like he's going to be part of the smoking.
You know what really infuriates me about that match? They do a spot, right, where Robert Roode throws Ziggler over his head, and Ziggler does a famouser, like a high-flying famouser, and Byron Saxton screams, "What a leg drop."
So he doesn't even know.
So Byron Saxton needs to get a wrestling dictionary or just take himself as far to
France
as possible, because that infuriated me.
Byron, he keeps saying belt.
The next draft plot, we had, who did we have, Danny? Did you get him down? We've got Elias going to Raw, Sami Zayn staying on SmackDown with the IC belt, that lovely, beautiful, brand new, best there ever has been IC title.
Please let everyone know that you're joking about that. Sami Zayn staying at SmackDown. Aye, I was going to bring that up actually, just because, what do you think? Do you think Big E will get a wee run at that? Because he's been IC champ before.
I think there could be bigger things in store for Big E, to be perfectly honest, whether you agree or disagree. But I think Sami Zayn, going back to Clash of Champions, Gold Rush, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy at ladder match, one of the best ladder matches I've probably seen in quite some time. Creative, fast paced, everything meant something. So I like Sami Zayn, I like the new character. Raw also managed to accrue Lacey Evans. SmackDown kept the team of Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. Raw got one that you were quite happy with, Danny.
It's no Sheamus, is it?
It is.
my prediction there is that at some point somewhere down the line, Sheamus and Drew will feud because they're Scottish and Irish.
Well, to be fair, that they were brought in together back in the Irish Whip wrestling days back in 2007, 2008. That's where they both got discovered on the your UK indie scene when it was really, really small. So I think there is definitely room for that. I just wish Sheamus would get rid of that bowler hat. It's a no-starter for me. Round 5 of just this particular call-out for that is R-Truth. I think he's like 47 or 48-time 24/7 champion. He holds a record for the most title reigns of any belt, and I think he holds the most title reigns in WWE in total now. That's his claim to fame when his career is done and dusted.
That's nothing for me. Because who was it?
Raven, I think, had the most at one point. Because Raven was better. Where's Raven? Scott Levy, by the way. Raven had one of the. It's still debated. It's on the cards. It's like 27-time hardcore champion. Raven will tell you another thing. That's 37.
If we could find him.
If we could find him, because he's been missing for months. So yeah, I like Carter. I think he's funny. I think that title's a no starter, but he makes it what it is, and I think if he wasn't on the roster, it would probably just be disappeared. And to be fair, I did manage to grab an Elite. I think you did as well, Danny, didn't you? Elite 78 R-Truth with the 24/7 title. First in the line for that belt. Did he say belt? But it comes with two interchangeable hands, and I dropped mine when I was moving house, and I've now lost his hands to the bottom of the box. That's his hand you can hear rattling about.
Oh God.
So he's no longer mint on card.
B-nib.
And the shout out from Group 6, and to me this is just purely showing you where Vince views Aleister Black is. Round 6, bottom of the barrel, this is the kind of people you didn't want. Aleister Black is in the same pot as Titus O'Neil, the same man.
Try and say it without laughing.
Who entered the greatest Royal Rumble
under the ring?
Who ended up basically looking for Hornswoggle? Oh, it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life as a wrestling fan, or even just in life in general.
That's the thing. If you don't know what we're talking about, you must go yes. on YouTube, type in Titus O'Neil Greatest Royal Rumble entrance, and get back to us and tell us that you didn't laugh.
Or watch it 100 times to make sure, and listen for Corey Graves' reaction. Corey Graves' reaction, he just can't keep to the script.
I'm not surprised.
The next match, really, really quick, was Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus Natalya and Lana. Nothing special from me. Mandy Rose is definitely getting better in terms of her in-ring work. She's trying to model herself after like Trish Stratus. She's going with some creative moves. Big knee from Rose to almost top the finish, and then it's like a senton shoulder drop with Dana Brooke, who basically misses it.
I don't think it was very well executed, to be honest. To be honest, it wasn't a bad match, really. Like, it was for just a sort of random match, would you say?
Yeah, it was a gap filler, wasn't it? It was just to get them on TV.
Aye, it was good. It wasn't too bad. Like, quality's quite good. Mandy Rose, like you say, I think confidence getting a bit higher, so not terrible, apart from maybe the finish where she missed.
Well, it wasn't her, it was Dana. I know what you mean, both of them kind of.
She is her.
Aye, her. But that's Dana Brooke to a T, to be honest. Dana Brooke's been around for a while. She's had this kind of, you think she's going to get a push, you think she's got to do well, and she always seems to somehow fuck it up. Pardon my language. But next one we've got is Seth Rollins, the former Monday Night Messiah, now calling himself the SmackDown Savior. He's doing his goodbye to Raw. Seth pretty much just comes out and cuts quite a dreary promo. I hate the Monday Night Messiah gimmick. I think it could have been better. It's just petulance. It's just really, really silliness. It's just not for me, this character. It's not for Seth. I think Seth's a great athlete, a great wrestler, great character, and this just is not.
Didn't he say wrestler?
I think if we look at characters like this in the past, in my experience or my understanding of it.
Marty Jannetty.
Well, yes, when he made the belt silver. And can we just say I absolutely hate the tag team titles?
What? Where did you wait for this?
Gone back. Because you said Marty Jannetty, I thought Marty Jannetty when he painted the belt silver. Do you mind when he made the tag strap silver? And it just makes me think of the absolute rust buckets that they've got now.
What were you going to say before that?
I didn't know. I've completely went off. But aye.
Characters, you were
characters. Sure. Seth Rollins, this character, it's only ever worked when it's this kind of biblical being. It's only worked with CM Punk when he was the saviour at the Straight Edge Society. Not Jake the Snake either. He was thumping his Bible in the King of the Ring. No, but the Monday Night Messiah gimmick doesn't work for me, I think. So, CM Punk pulled it off when he had Serena and Luke Gallows and Joey Mercury back in 2009-10, when he was like the Straight Edge Society gimmick, and he was enforcing like everyone to kind of abide by his rules. But Seth is just real. He needs to move on for this.
I hoped, and I think I said this to you, I don't know if I said it to you before the draft, or maybe it was as it was announced, or whatever it was. I was hoping that they would roll with a change of character for Seth after moving over.
Well, we split for Buddy now, so we'll need to wait and see. Jeff interrupted here. Then it leads to AJ Styles coming down and making a comment. Danny, what did he make the comment of?
What did he say again?
Well, we all know that Jeff's just had like a documentary.
Oh, yeah, about his bevy.
Last round.
I said it was like last call, or last orders, as we would say, but I made a comment about last call. And then he ripped into the Monday night mess. And then he came back down after him. And then you said that would make a great match.
I said basically that'd make a great match. Then he spoil it now, and then before you know it, it came back for the break and they're on the ring together in a triple threat match.
I'll tell you what, that's a main event.
That is a main event when you're looking at the caliber of wrestler experience and just overall
talent
in the ring. Aye, I think that's a wasted match. Danny almost died at the end of this match.
Choked on my burger when when it was Jeff got the guitar smacked about his back.
For Elias, what's your thoughts on that potential storyline coming out of it?
Aye, but most likely. Although I was thinking about if that hadn't happened, who would actually genuinely win like a big time match between those three? So there you go, there's a question for you. Off the cuff, who do you think would win in a... I'm not even going to say ladder match because I can't even win that. Daniel Bryan.
So what if it was Seth, Jeff and AJ in a world title triple threat match?
Any type, aye, triple threat, any stipulation. Could be ladder, go ladder if you want, but
depends what mood Vince is in and if Pritchard's there.
What do you think though?
Who would I go with personally? I think if I'm WWE, I want to hold on to my talent, I want to treat them well. Seth's there forever. AJ's admitted he's signed his last contract in wrestling. I think Jeff just signed a new contract with WWE. I think Jeff's, again, I don't know what to waste. And I know it's all about bringing up new talent, but they're all the guys in there are all experienced.
Well, there you go. That's why it's a hard question.
It's a hard question, but for me, I'd probably have to go with Seth, purely based on he's the younger one of them all. He's the one that's still got more longevity ahead of him. I'm a big Jeff Hardy fan. I always have been, always will be, and I'd always go in my heart. And if they wanted to put the belt on Jeff next week, I'd be all for it. But
we've been saying that for months.
I know. So we'll see. But I don't think we're going to see that match again because Seth's away. The Elias and Jeff storyline, I could take it or leave it. I don't really particularly like Elias. Yeah, I think he's a good character for what he does, but I don't think his in-ring ability is that solid. I think he's nothing that would buy sell tickets when people start buying them again. So for me, I think Jeff took two losses this week, and I think that's kind of, it's no good for him. Whether he's a veteran or not, to bring young talent up, I think you still have to treat him well. I mean, you didn't want him to go and jump ship to AEW. I'm still loyal to WWE, so I like to see most of the guys stick to what my bread and butter is.
I think I just about smashed myself with a guitar when I brought up that Elias was 4-time 24/7 champion.
That's his only claim.
If that's the best thing he's got apart from a now broken guitar, then he's not got much going for him. And for Jeff to have a feud with him would maybe be a bit insulting because I didn't really see him going anywhere, to be honest. Elias, that is.
No.
I would rather see Jeff get a better push. And you can't put him in a tag with anybody.
No, because you physically can't. He's Matt and Jeff, that's it.
Aye, if you did that, it'd be Vince having a, like, absolute
pants down and bolt, Matt.
Basically, it would be a no clue what I'm doing match. And
But I think when you look across the WWE and the tag team picture in general as well, a lot of the tag teams right now are just two people that have been put together because I have no idea what the fuck they want to do with them.
Shinsuke
and Cesaro.
Honestly,
we'll get on to that.
That'll be another guitar that'll be smashed about the place.
Because
it's boot my head.
Tag match, it was Xavier Woods and Kofi defending the tag titles against Roode and Ziggler. Good match, solid finish. Xavier's been out of action for a while, almost a year. He looked really, really exciting. The midnight hour finish, I think, was terrible.
It's
like a foot stomp backbreaker type idea, and it's just not for me.
In fact, was it the Hart Foundation that when the anvil would have him over his knee and then
he would come with a clothesline? It was a heart attack.
It's not a heart attack. I was thinking about something else. Does he not put him over his knee and then Brett comes down with
an elbow? He comes in with the axe handle.
No, it's kind of, obviously, it's not similar. The elbow, but it's not that great. I think they're better than that. They could come up with something else for sure.
Looking to tie up the end of Raw, we had Andrade versus Angel Garza. I like both of them. Split them up, I think the tag titles would look good on those guys. Zelina's on commentary. She doesn't look like she knows what the hell she's doing there. Quick match. I think it's really, really poor what they're doing with Andrade. The guy needs to go to NXT on the back of this optional surgery he's took. I think he could have been the next Hispanic star, but I think they're going that way with Garza. What do you think about the aftermatch attack?
I started with those two, ended with those two, and
I think we're going too far ahead. The Fiend and Alexa.
Oh, right, okay. That attack.
I not the. I'm going to take a heart attack.
You will, by the way. Vince did. it was a good introduction for the Fiend to kind of be there. But, again, just like... So, from what I can remember, it's all I've seen him do. It's been a few dark, random attacks. But it's a good introduction. Like, I needed to get on in the show, and I was always going to... He was probably always going to be there.
Yeah, so and I think it's at Andrade's mercy as well, because that's not a storyline that's ever going to go anywhere. So it's just a way of signing off Andrade for a month.
It's much of a muchness, really.
And then we ended the show. Obviously, Lana won the Battle Royal. I couldn't give two monkeys. to be perfectly honest, you can go away with Miro. I don't care. Former known as Rusev. Drew and Orton Brawl continues to break up Lana's big win. Again, it's another brawl that leads to Hell in a Cell. So overall, Raw, Danny.
Out of 10?
Aye. If you go 5, go 5. We'll rate it at 5.
Out of 5? I was going to say 7 out of 10. But
I'd get a 3.
3?
Yes.
Out of 5?
Yes.
It's pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
3's fine.
It was consistent, but I think... They're running out of ideas, storylines, and the talent just seems really, really... They're just not a good mix in terms of storylines. There's some things I'm interested in. I'll always be interested in whatever Drew's got to do. I think we've been robbed out of not having Edge kind of involved in big storylines throughout the summer. NXT talent or new up-and-coming talent really not getting utilised. But, yeah, it was what it was for Raw. Because it's a draft and it's forced down your throat.
The best thing about the Drew and... Randy sort of thing at the end was the guy in the blue suit that looked like Tintin.
Who's Tintin?
Showing my age again. He's a guy from a kid's book series called Tintin.
I've heard of him, but I've never seen him.
Orange hair. And he wore a blue jumper. He never wore a blue suit. This guy had a full blue suit on with orange hair. And all he seemed to do was run round the circle of refs that were trying to split
them. You know what I laugh at? Like, they do this, right? They do this, like, chaos thing. And there's no one ringing the bell. There's no one, like, announcing to say... There's no chaos. It's just refs. They used to do it. There's literally, like, a couple of refs will run it, like, when Charles Robinson took the backdrop. You know what I mean now, eh?
When the ring broke, he just
kind of looked behind himself and I'm gone.
He jumped, then landed, and then chucked himself backwards and then went over the rope that wasn't even there anymore.
I feel like we're going in two depths. We were only going to be touching on SmackDown Raw and then AEW within 10 minutes. We went on for about half an hour, so... SmackDown started with Triple H and Stephanie doing this horrendous promo. It's always good to see Triple H. But, again, it's another... He's not himself. It's not an NXT promo for Triple H. It's just the Vince scripted promo that he has to go with. Talk up all the new talent. Steph, though, trips up and she does say... Look behind you to Sami Zayn, even though Sami Zayn's IC champ, because you missed our Money in the Bank's lurking Otis. Now, to me, the Money in the Bank is for the world title. Why ever he's got it in the first place, I will not know, and I feel like they're going to take it off him soon. New Day's farewell speech, Xavier gets very heartfelt. I don't think this personally is the end for the New Day. I think this is just purely, and going back to what you said earlier, I think this is, from what I've seen a couple of weeks ago when Big E attacked Sheamus in the car park, I really seen a side to Big E that I've wanted to see for a while. He's very athletic, a very good big man, and I think there's more to him, and he gets away from this New Day character for a couple of years.
I don't know, like, to be honest with you, I've no idea. I've not really got a lot of thoughts. I don't think they'll end up doing a lot with him. I don't know, I said to you earlier about the Sami Zayn thing, I don't know if you said they might go for bigger things, but at the moment I didn't really think there's a place to just chuck Big E into that picture.
No.
Because there's obviously something else going on.
My personal opinion is they'll do a slow burner with Big E and maybe Survivor Series, well it won't be Survivor Series, but anything beyond Survivor Series, it might be Big E in the title picture with Roman. And anyway, because the fans will get behind Big E, he'll be the big babyface, and Roman needs that babyface to kind of...
Count his heel.
Yes, continue to show his legitimacy as a big heel, and I think that's got to make into a really good match, or a feud for at least a couple of months. New Day Cesaro versus New Day versus Cesaro, Nakamura and Sheamus. Farewell match with New Day. Big hugs all round at the end. Nothing really to shout about, I'm not going to dwell on it. Daniel Bryan returns. Seth interrupts him and tells him that he should join him. Daniel references that he used to be similar to Seth, wanted to save the planet, wanted to help people, but kind of says that Seth's been a little bit dumb.
Great feud, by the way.
Yes.
Great couple of talent.
The return of Daniel Bryan couldn't have been any more better time for a feud with Seth, if that is the route they decide to go down. I think that makings of a brilliant match. Really, really makings of a great match. I mean, for their indie days, is Tyler Black and Bryan Danielson to now. Not seen enough of them in WWE ring together, so I think this is a really good opportunity for both of them. But, with, again, kind of conflicts where they're going because Buddy comes out, Mysterio and Dominic. Here's a thought for you. How do you think the roster are looking at Dominic Mysterio? All these guys have to work and pay their dues and indies and shitty shows for years and years to get a chance. Then they come to WWE and they've got to work through the training ground, the developmental centre, go to the performance centre, NXT, before they even get a shout. Whereas Dominic's just 23-year-old plonked into a main storyline.
Oh, first of all, his dad's a legend.
Absolutely. Mysterio is like one of the best of all time in my eyes.
But I can't disagree with that. I don't think anybody listening would disagree with that either if they know their salt. But
yeah.
To be honest, normally I would be like, nah, that's just, you know, having it. But the fact that he's actually good.
In fairness, that's the point I was going to try and make. He is really, really good and you can see that he's learnt a lot from his dad.
And he's massive.
He's a lot bigger than his dad. So yeah, I think that was just a random thought. I wrote that down. I wanted to see what people's thoughts were. So if you could actually let us know what your thoughts are on that. Even it might be that further down the line, maybe come Mania, they put the belts on him and his Ray Royal Rumble lead up to Mania. Be a nice kind of send-off for Ray. Maybe not send-off, but something for him to look back on this latter stage of his career.
It's good to be having the partnership with Dominic. I think for them to get something together before he like shuts out his career, not that it's coming or anything like that, but I think at some point it'd be good to, like you said, for him to look back at and have something with Dominic before he goes.
Finally, main event, Braun versus Reigns. The commentators are trying far too hard in this match to get Braun and Roman over. I think I love the new Roman Reigns character. This is what I've been wanting for about 6 years, and all the fans have been wanting. Chokes him out with a guillotine. I thought it was class.
Well, he's not really a submission man,
is he?
He's
not that type of man, and I think to stop someone as big as Strowman with a chokehold, guillotine, I thought was a really good finish. I think it added to Roman's attitude and edge that he's currently got. And what I didn't like was Jey Uso comes out, hits Roman with a chair. Another scuffle unfolds where the officials come out. They pretty much screw over. J&J gets a Superman punch for his troubles. And it's pretty much just twice in the 2 weeks at WWE, in the same week that WWE have done the same ending of the show. So SmackDown for me, I'd probably say another 3-star for the 2-hour show.
I'll go 2 out of 5 for SmackDown, but very briefly on Braun. I don't know what your thoughts are, I'm sure you'll give me them, but I think he's just a character without a place, and it has been for a while.
It's always been that way.
Like, I know there's been like the Fiend, and then he's had the belt, then he say belt, and he's a big man. I think they could have done more, and maybe in years to come he'll get something, like, because obviously they should have done something with Roman years ago.
Yeah.
But maybe now it's just a case of it's a good time to have it. Maybe if they pushed him years ago, they wouldn't have much now. Just Braun, to be honest, I'm not a big fan anyway.
I could care less, to be honest, about Braun. To be honest, nice guy, from what I've seen and what I've heard, but no, it doesn't really do it for me. Moving on really quickly, and we'll just want to be really quick because I'm cautious. We've got maybe 10 minutes here to kind of wrap up. 10-15 to wrap up. AEW, Archer versus Mox.
You said it to me, and I agreed with the weapons for weapons, or right, weapons for weapons' sake, and the two tables, there's two tables that are purely for effect.
Yeah.
Like, Mox sticks Sarger through the table right next to the ring, but he's also stuck himself
through it.
And the commentators are like, oh, he's put him through a table, but he's actually not. Because he stuck his cell through a table. So surely it was just all over the place. But the one good thing, well, there was a couple of good bits to be fair, but JR for me brings a nostalgia to commentating. Yes. He's never changed. You can see him commentating on that match, which wasn't that great. And in your head, you can still see him, The Rock versus Stone Cold.
Ah, he brings that authenticity. He calls it like he sees it. He calls it as like a shoot fight. AEW, I link because it's really edgy. It's completely different in terms of the presentation for WWE. I really enjoy it. I'm still WWE to the core, but AEW for me was good. I don't think that, for to me, with an anniversary show for the first year celebration, was a great show. It was a great way to cut off the show. Eddie Kingston cuts a decent promo and chokes Moxley out at the end with Ray Phoenix and Pentagon. I'm a big fan of Lucha Bros and I'm a big fan of Kingston. I just don't think Kingston versus Moxley is kind of an old CZW Combat Zone Wrestling sort of feud. If you're trying to get a company over as worldwide, I don't know if that's the way to go straight away, but who am I to judge? Quick round the table in terms of news, Danny, for this week.
John Cena got married. I noticed the other day there. After choosing not to a wee while ago.
Yes, I wonder how she feels about that, by the way.
Well, don't know, it is what it is, really. It's not, I'm not really going to comment on the guy's real life, but it's out there in the news anyway.
Finn Balor, injury update. William Regal said on this week's episode of NXT that he's going to give him another couple of weeks to see what the update is. He's currently got two fractures in his jaw. He's just came out of surgery based on that hard-hitting match he had with O'Reilly at NXT, a TakeOver 31. Really good match. They'd take all an audible at the end of the match and kind of go for the finish early. It's quite awkwardly ended, but my hope is that he doesn't have to vacate the title, because we've already had to see Karrion Kross vacate the title after separating his shoulder last month, so it would be quite poor to see the title vacated twice in the space of 8 weeks.
Randomly on SmackDown, the Thunderdome screens had some legends on it. Did you see that?
I didn't pick that up.
You didn't pick that up? Good. I'm glad I've got something you don't know. Put up your used socks. There was some legends seen on.
And who were they?
We had Jeff Jarrett.
Was he actually watching?
He was on one of the screens.
Nice.
I'm sure Nikki Bella, funnily enough, was on one of them. Ric Flair.
Nice.
Mark Henry.
I thought you were going to say Mark Merrill.
Maybe he was. and Goldberg as well.
Ah, yeah, I've seen that actually. Funnily enough, because he's shown interest in the main event.
Great.
Aye, so I think Goldberg will be coming back to take away some of his push.
Hello. Just a damage Bret Hart again, bastard.
Just another quick one. Ronda Rousey's back training. She was recently seen training with James Storm, the Cowboy, former TNA World Tag Team Champion, trials in NXT, had a couple of matches at NXT, and he was actually signed early on in this year to return or make his debut on Raw as a Paul Heyman guy, part of creative, back after the Rumble, but that got pushed off with the current pandemic. But it's good to see that maybe Ronda could be coming back and bringing that legitimacy back to the women's division.
Nice one. So we move on to Superstar of the Week. Do we have enough time? We have enough time.
Yeah, we have enough time. We can touch on it for a couple of minutes. You want to give us it, Danny?
Superstar of the Week, Drew McIntyre.
And why would that be?
Purely because we're Scottish, he's Scottish, and he happens to support the same football team as Bradley. Just to give a quick mention to beat Celtic 2-0 today.
Absolutely. So I'm on cloud 9 today. Big Rangers fan. For those of you who are listening across the world, I imagine a lot of you have probably heard of them if you're into soccer or football. But yeah, Drew McIntyre for me. Been a big fan of him since he broke on the scene as the Chosen One. Never really kind of got going. He had the IC title for a wee while. And then it all just kind of went to shit for them when he was playing air guitar and hanging about with Heath Slater and Jinder. But I recently watched the 24 hour documentary special on the network, and it was really, really good, really, really insightful for especially me. I'd advise Danny, it'd be worthwhile for him to go and give it a listen and watch, and probably same for you guys as well if you haven't already done it on the network. talks about his life, his challenges. He's quite authentic. He doesn't sound like a normal Scottish person. He sometimes gets a bit of stick for that because he's been living in the States for so long. But I think I'm very personally hurt the fact that at Mania this year he should have been at Raymond James in front of 75,000 fans, and he should have had that moment. Way's world title to end the show, and he didn't get. So it's a tough pill to swallow. But to me, for this week, I think it was only fitting for two Scottish guys to really set the wrestling podcast off by talking about the first ever British world champion in WWE, and hopefully it's the first of many for him. I think Vince sees him as a top guy. What's your thoughts?
I can't see him as being out of the picture at all. I hope they don't waste him. If it ever comes a point that he's not got the belt, then they say belt.
I know, I've said that a lot.
I don't think, or I hope that he doesn't get wasted. I think that Vince or WWE Creative or whoever are quite likely to do that.
Yes.
As they do with a lot of people.
Yeah,
but I hope
absolutely everybody at some point or another.
I hope at some point in their lives they learn, and if he was to not have the belt, that we keep him fresh with some nice storylines and stuff like that as well. Or even if he is the champ, keep the title storylines healthy as well.
I think he's had a good run considering he's been dealing with it in a really tough era.
He's been a great champion, to be
like
honest.
The people that he's defended against, his run's been quite healthy, so even if they do decide to strip him of it coming the next couple of weeks, I don't think he can look back and say he's done anything wrong. No, Drew McIntyre this week, guys. We'll probably put some social media kind of teasers out there and maybe some questions who you'd like to see next week as being the superstar of the week, and it can be anyone from any era, past, present, or even an up-and-comer. We're open to ideas, and we're hoping to get your input as much as possible with us.
That is one thing which, just to quickly touch on before we move on, for those of you that probably are listening, you'll have added us on the CDTA podcast Instagram page, so any interaction you want to give us, ideas, mentions, things that you want to see on it, like Bradley said, your superstar of the week, anything like that, fire it over. We'll try and fit things in as the weeks progress. We'll put together different shows based on things that we want and things that you guys want as well, so anything that you would like to see or hear, rather.
I think that's a big point. I think first episode, as the week's going, we want it to be as much your show as it is ours, and we want it to make it as much as an interactive base as possible, because we're up and coming, we're new to this, and I think there's a lot of people out there that could add good ideas in and give us some sort of conversational pieces as well, so we're looking forward to it.
Nice one. So thank you in advance also.
Yes.
Perfect. So Drew McIntyre, superstar of the week.
Yay!
Right, so we'll quickly just go over the predictions for Halloween Havoc and Hell in a Cell as well. So
yeah, so Hell in a Cell and Halloween Havoc coming up. NXT Hell in a Cell. I really love the idea of them bringing back an old WCW pay-per-view. Current matches we've got set up, is the only two that I'm really going to discuss right now is Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano for the North American title and a spin the wheel match. That Shotzi Blackheart will be the one dictating, kind of gives you that feeling of unpredictability that Taboo Tuesday used to do. The Halloween Havoc theme kind of stays true with the match type. So you've got no DQ, obviously. You've got the standard ones, table matches, TLC, whatever it might be. Then you've got Boiler Room Brawls, casket matches, Buried Alive. You've even got Judy Bagwell on a forklift match. Or a Viagra on a pole match, by the way, which happened in WCW at one point.
God.
But my prediction for this is Damian Priest. I think the guy's doing well. I think he's a future big star. What about you, Danny?
Right, I'll go Johnny Wrestlers.
Okay.
Just because you've went one way, I'll go the other.
And then Io Shirai defending her women's championship versus Candice LeRae, the wife of Johnny Gargano, in another spin the wheel match. There's no world title match currently on the card because of Balor's injury, but for me, I think Io Shirai walks away with this one again because I think she's incredible in terms of her athleticism and her actual in-ring ability. What about you?
I think I'm going to have to agree with you this time, actually. Not sure what the match might be.
No.
We'll find out when the wheel is spun.
Yes, we will. Hell in a Cell, Danny.
quite a few matches that we've got that are all inside the cell.
Hell in a Cell so far for the actual matches we have. Obviously, our champion Drew versus Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell. I'm actually going to go with Drew keeping the title here, actually. I wasn't going to before when I was thinking about it, but Drew, I'm going Drew.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Orton because I purely think he's had two matches already in this and he's lost both. He's lost the straight wrestling match, he's lost the ambulance match. Why would he get a third one? He's going to steal it. If he doesn't, is there a place for The Fiend to cause Orton the title? Is that where he's gone? I don't know.
Aye, the Fiend's always there or thereabouts, so it is unpredictable. Like, but to be honest, I think they're going to keep Drew going for a little while longer. At this moment, I don't really know what's going to happen next, but I'm going Drew. And you're going Randy. Next, Roman, obviously the champion, versus Jey Uso in an I Quit Hell in a Cell match.
I'm quite excited for the concept of this. The storyline behind this is really good. It's real. It's where it needs to be. No way Jey Uso's winning. This is just purely, again, an angle to get Roman over more as a heel. And that personal side of things is people are going to hate him because he's pretty much bullying his younger cousin. An I Quit match adds to that because he's just going to pretty much torture the guy until he says I quit. Inside the Hell in a Cell, the options are endless in terms of creativity, so I'm looking forward to that one. I'm going to go with Roman, a dominant winner.
I can't disagree with that because Jey is purely there because of the family thing. There's nothing else to say really about Jey. So the only thing he's actually done is leathered Roman with a chair and still got Superman punched out the game.
Which is stupid, because the guy's getting no... He's not even closing a show.
There's no traction whatsoever with Jey Uso. I actually noticed there, when I watched it, the first thing he's like had gone positive for him is leathering Roman with a chair. The referees are all kicking about, and then Roman still Superman punches him.
I mean, there's still the go-home show next week on Raw, SmackDown, there's still that, where we could see Jey finally, and you might see Jimmy appear, you might see Rikishi. I'd love to see that, I'd love to see Rikishi get interfered. To me, this storyline is ultimately going to be going down the bloodline. And
we all know where it's going to go.
We all know where it's going to go, if you can smell that.
Big time. Right, Sasha versus Bayley. Bayley's the champion, obviously. Hell in a Cell. I'm picking Sasha.
I am as well.
Good. Purely because it's been mentioned a lot that Bayley's the longest running champion, and it seems to be like in the news and in the headlines.
It's the theme pretty much going into that Bayley feels like she's kind of indestructible.
Aye.
I see Sasha coming out on top here.
I'm going to agree with you on that, and then we'll pick up afterwards, but we'll see what happens.
And both cards still need more matches added to it in typical WWE fashion. Nothing is ever set until the Saturday before. Drew and Randy will probably get put on the kickoff show.
Fair enough.
And where are we at next?
So, moving on, we'll quickly touch on the IC tournament we're going to run through the social media, and then we'll.
This one is going to cause a hell of a lot of debate. It's Danny, why don't you talk about your love for the IC belt?
Right, let me see it. So, let me see here. So yeah, we obviously were putting ideas together for the podcast. We came up with little different tournaments that we could do, like random fantasy matches, things like that. But my favourite belt, didn't say belt, is the IC championship.
As is mine.
The old school one, my fondest memory is WrestleMania 6, where the Warrior defends the yellow one against Hogan.
And unifies.
Yeah, but just the belt itself, then they say belt, is just a beautiful design. Like the white strap, also lovely.
Credit to Cody for bringing it back in 2010 as well.
When they brought it back, incredible. What they've done to it now is just ridiculous. So hopefully at some point, they see sense and it comes back again and somebody puts a coloured strap on it as well. So that being said, we went with the IC fantasy match tournament, who would be awarded my my favourite belt at the end of it. So there's so many, like, there's going to be, like Bradley said, there's going to be so much debate about the actual champions and the matches that we've put up in this. So we'll,
and you'll be able to vote through social media. That's how we're going to do it. We'll share it on our stories on the CDTA podcast starting Monday.
So we'll get, we'll start, just round, look out one. For it. Yeah, we'll start round one, look out for it, and we'll go through the matches.
And we all picked, it's a 16 man bracket tournament. 8 each, was it?
We picked 8 each, aye.
So what's the first bracket?
Will we read them out then now?
We could read the participants if you want to do that.
Aye. Yeah, we'll go participants anyway.
But not in any particular order.
No, not in any particular order. 16 men that made the...
The cut.
Made the cut. Is Marty Jannetty actually there or not? Oh no, he's still hanging out the barber window. Anyway, so we've got Jericho, Owen Hart, Bret Hart, Triple H, Razor, Ramon, of course, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Dolph Ziggler, The Rock, Macho Man Randy Savage, Honky Tonk Man.
Purely because he carried it for like...
Christian Edge Michaels.
Christian got took out, did he know?
No, he's there. Christian's there.
God, they know what they're in the tournament.
I know. Leave me in charge of the tournaments. Jeff Hardy, Mr. Perfect, and of course the Ultimate Warrior. So look out on the social media for the matchups, get voting, and we'll see who wins. Your prediction, please, if you can remember.
Who do you
who's
predict right
in
now? Who do you predict right now is going to win?
Let me see. I think
why the hell Christian's in there?
I think
you've used it. I swear you've used Tipex.
No. I think Jericho will win.
Just because he's still kind of current as well?
I don't know. I just think that I would pick the Warrior, but...
Nobody's getting it to Hellwig.
I hope he gets through the first round just to ram it round you.
I think there's some good matchups in between there, but... Michaels, I'd probably say. Michaels or Jericho. I'll go with Michaels.
I'm not trying to influence anyone's decision, but I think Michaels is probably...
up there.
Aye, probably. He could win.
Again, purely popularity-based, but...
Well, that's it. That's exactly it, but...
We'll see what happens.
Also talented. I don't like the guy whatsoever, just to pop that in there, but...
If you could see my face.
Cool. So, well, yeah, look out for that on the Instagram. Lastly, our passion.
The figures. Really where this all started for this year. Me and Danny got talking March.
End of March, April time anyway.
Just talking about figures and talking about, he asked me, and it was probably something we never really spoke about, to say either of us collect figures, and we probably had a very basic, didn't he say basic? A collection at the time, and it was really just an odd hand fair here and there. But as things go, you start talking about something, and it just kind of snowballed from there. You showing me your Nasty Boys and your Kamala, and then I think I showing you my Sting, and it just kind of went from there. So basically, we both collect. Scott, my bank balance doesn't link it, but we're both big collectors. Yours is a bit more variety than mine.
Well, mine started as, well, you're right, I pretty much like the Nasty Boys, Kamala, the Warrior, things like that I had to begin with. And it was more the era that I watched, I suppose, from where I started watching wrestling, all those guys were there. So I thought I'll collect that. And then it kind of grew into searching on eBay every 10 minutes for whatever I could get, and then I thought I'll collect from...
Funny story, Danny. Knows what I'm going to say. Maybe about 3 months ago, I was bored and I was looking for someone to buy, and I was like, I screenshotted a wrestler and I sent it to Danny. I went, didn't buy him. He was only like £18. And then next game week, Danny sends me a picture. Look, I've just bought, and little did I know I'd bought Dean Malenko, the same figure I was looking at. And he's like, I don't even know why. But going back to it, I think we've both got quite a big collection. Yours is up in the hundreds now. Mings is getting there. Really, Mings, I always collected them when I was a kid. Outer box, now I keep them in.
Right, I was the same. I broke the head off the Macho King the first day I got them. I remember. That's one of my earliest memories.
I think we're both kind of grew up against, just part and parcel of being a wrestling fan, collecting figures, playing with them. But now it's more so for the nostalgia than anything else. Talking about a few of the pieces that I've got, some of the favourites, you'll get to see them over the coming weeks. I do have a very expensive one sitting on the table right here beside us, which we'll decide. To be fair, we could probably mention it because we're on the subject of the draft this week. The defining moments, 2005 draft lottery, John Cena. Got it for a really good price, and it's probably the most expensive one I have. It's in perfect condition.
Until I drop it down the stairs.
Aye, but we spend time pre-ordering. We buy from several different places. Where do we... Where do you normally buy for?
Online or stores, but it's a mixture really.
It's hard being in the UK because you didn't get the exposure like what Americans have, where they can get releases for retail. We end up seeming to pay
through the nose,
pre-ordering stuff months in advance just so we can get it a month earlier, because we can't rely on Smiths and we can't rely on stores like that around these areas but to be fair, they've been stocked up quite well. So this week, whether Danny likes it or not, our first week we're going to actually talk about the AEW Series 1 Unrivaled, which I happen to have three of them sitting on the desk right now that I didn't pre-order, I didn't order online. I managed to pick them up just through shopping with my partner in the last couple of weeks, or days actually. I've got Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega and Cody. Still waiting on the Young Bucks. I'm not going to get Brandy. What's your thoughts on them, Danny? Because I know we're big WWE elites more than anything else. That's what we go for.
Aye, for sure. But I think, to be honest with you, it's good for me to see them. And obviously, you've been telling me for ages you wanted them. And this is why it's good, because our collections differ. Because I'm sometimes influenced by what you... Cody's open. I'm sometimes influenced by what you... Yeah,
and likewise.
And sometimes, and it's to have them live here. Let me just pick up Jericho for a little second. I think the packaging is class. First of all, that's massive for me. Packaging's always a go-to point for.
I think that's a selling point for most of the ones that me and you own.
Aye.
Like Defining Moments is probably our favourite series ever.
Aye, I would say so, and the packaging plays a big part in that. Also, my broken Greg Valentine, it's open. You've got a mare, have you not?
I've got a Greg here, Legend Series 7, Greg Valentine.
But yours isn't open.
No, mine's is in quite good condition, considering the guy I got it from did say that first come, first serve for people who want mint on card. It's in reasonable condition. It's actually good condition, if I'm being brutally honest, considering these were shipped over. But yeah, we're not speaking about Greg just now.
Aye. Back to Jericho anyway. So, first AEW figure?
Yes, first AEW series, first AEW figure by...
Unrivaled Collection, Series 1. I hate them.
What?
I do not like them one little bit. Now, when you showed me them, when you first got them...
About 2 hours ago.
My first comment was that they look terrible, and like Jericho's attire, he's got the leather jacket on, a long scarf, which seems to be some sort of fabric.
That is, aye.
Which is quite cool. The hat, and he's got a set of hands that have, obviously, as if he had gloves on. I like the Jericho.
I think it sold it. I just happened to be on the website at the time and seen they were in stock.
I like the Jericho because he's got the jacket on and he's got long pants
on. It's the body you don't like. It's the bodies you don't like. They're very similar to an Elite, but they're different as well. So Kenny Omega, for me, his first proper action figure. He's probably had ones out in Japan for his days over there, but I think that he's obviously had, he had another one in the series because they brought out an authentic scale ring as well as part of the first initial release, which there's an exclusive one there, and it's the cleaner version of him where he's got the blonde hair, which I would have preferred. This one, he's got more of the dark hair for his New Japan days as well, or his latter New Japan days, but I like it. Jericho, a good Jericho, because I'm a big Jericho fan. Anything that's Chris Jericho, the defining one is Chris Jericho. You've got the, you just made the list, Chris Jericho Elite, the ringside exclusive.
I've got the defining moments as well. Yeah, it's so, the only one for me.
I wish I had the Chase variant version of him with the Inner Circle cloth top and the world title. I'm maybe considering getting a little bit of the bubbly. But he's no on the bot. You can't see him because he's hidden.
I'm not a fan of that.
That's the only off-putting part. Cody, for me, I get where Danny's coming from. He looks a bit like a G.I. Joe.
A G.I. fucked.
It looks incoming, it doesn't it? It's better than what I thought, I think, when you look at the ones online and you see the original out-of-the-box book packages and for the Comic-Con at the start of the year, they've massively improved the face scan, but there's still work to be done. I'm still going to get Matt and Nick for the Young Bucks when they come available in the UK. Series 2 looks better for some of the images I've seen, and I sent you a photo last night.
I can't actually remember looking at it, but I've seen them about.
I sent you Moxley last night.
Oh, the Moxley class.
So there we go, Moxley.
I'd probably
He's got a scar on his forehead, like a blood cut.
See, well, obviously it's by the same people, so the figures look exactly the same, but they have done a little bit better. They just need to put a little bit more effort in it. I suppose I can get it though, because it's points of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
These toys are made to be toys.
Yeah.
So from a functional standpoint, they're probably actually really good.
I'd love to see what they feel like at their box in comparison to that.
Just buy a doubler and open it.
No.
I wouldn't either.
Coming for the man who's got about how many Kamalas?
2 Jack's classic Kamalas. One's for sale. If anybody wants them, get in touch. It does, yes.
There you have it. That's like the first week's worth of our introduction. Next week, we're going to be talking about, in terms of figures, will be
the Andre the Giant and Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes, the WrestleMania retro collection. They are not basics, they're not elites, they're kind of in between. They've got the old basic arms, I think, in terms of the ball control, they're just released. I know you've got yours already. You've seen them out the box anyway.
I've not opened them. I won't open them. But yeah, we'll cover them. We'll probably cover a few more as well, because our figures will be a part of the show every week.
I think what we'll do as well is I'll share some photos on our story the night of what we spoke about in terms of these. The All Elite, they're selling out really quick. I know that the initial launch of these was postponed in the UK, so the production company said that they had an issue getting them to the UK after loads of pre-orders and loads of stores saying they were getting them, and they said that the Unrivaled Series 2 would actually take its place for October, November, and we wouldn't see Unrivaled 1 until December, January, which is stupid, but production issues. But funnily enough, the Smith store next to me managed to get a small delivery of at least Kenny, Cody and Omega, so I jumped on them, and when I checked back online within hours, they were gone.
Well, they are obviously popular, but certainly not for me anyway.
So, to wrap up, looking on the next week, we'll give us a wee rundown, just a brief rundown of where we're going and what we're looking forward to next week, Danny.
Aye, so we'll be recording probably a day later to get in the pay-per-view results.
Yes, just probably be Monday the...
Just to cover the predictions that we were speaking of earlier.
Monday the 26th we'll be recording next.
There'll be more chat on figures, there'll be another superstar of the week. Hopefully on the back of the pay-per-views there'll be a bit more news for us to talk about, right. See if how many chair shots Jay's has taken.
And if Rashiki's woke up, Rashiki.
Rashiki? Who's Rashiki?
Rashiki has woke up.
And Rashiki. Absolutely.
Rafiki.
Love a botch.
Didn't he say botch?
So, yeah, and that again, if there's anything that you guys can think of that you would like us to speak about or you would like mentioned or any ideas, fire them over to us and we'll put them into practice.
Yes, we will. But that's all from me, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the very first episode of Coming Down the Isle Wrestling Podcast with Danny
and Bradley. I'm going to go and pin him.
Yes, I win!
Thank you.
Bye, guys.